Great. Well, some great songs this morning. Great worship. Thanks, guys, for leading us. And, the song that we sang after communion, This is Jesus. This is what it's all about. This is why we're here. This is who we celebrate and give thanks to and honor and worship and who we live for. Not just on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half, but through the other days of the week. And what an honor it is and a privilege it is to be children of God. Well, thank all two of you. It is an amazing privilege. And to know who we are in God is so key for our lives. And to sense and know God's favor and pleasure and that sense of well-being in him, you cannot beat it as an experience and an understanding and a revelation for us. And I pray that each one of us will understand that and know that. And today, I want to pick up on some things. In fact, Hugh asked me to speak on this subject about 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And it was interesting when some of us were praying in the little room before the service. Dennis prayed. He said, just pray for David because it'll all be new to him what he's going to say. Well, actually, Dennis, a little revelation, a little confession. It's not all new this morning. I've shared some of this before. So some of you will go, hang on a minute, you've said that before. Well, I'm going to say it again. And it really, interestingly, comes off the back of what Richard said last week, not knowing what he was going to say. But I thought you did a fantastic job, Richard, last week, and honour you for that. And Richard was talking about what has God graced us for. And I love those two columns that he has. You know, there was the general things that we're graced to be witnesses, but some people actually call to be evangelists. You know, so there's a number of those things that came along in those two columns, general stuff and specific stuff. And he talked about don't try and be who you're not. Don't try and live life through somebody else's lenses. You are who you are by the grace of God. God knew what he was doing when he put his hand on your life, when he put his hand on my life, and didn't want you to be a carbon copy of anybody else. Thank God, because it saves a lot of pressure if you haven't got to do that. And he talked about taking steps of faith. Because sometimes there are steps of faith. He alluded to the Indiana Jones film, Steps of Faith. And he talked about God's body needs you. The body of Christ needs you. Just nudge somebody and say, the body of Christ needs you. And the body of Christ needs me. And he talked about finding grace and hopefully that each one of us will hear that commendation by the Lord one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. So great what Richard shared. I want to come off the back of that in a moment. We sang one song. We sang it twice last week. And it was that song, We Go From Glory to Glory. We're forever changed. Forever changed. I've been thinking about that a little bit and thinking about a prophetic word that we heard probably about a month or so ago now. You might remember Steve and Di Brees were visiting us. And Di got up and shared a word. And she said, I see a flock of birds, like a starlings. And you know those huge flocks, and they call them murmurations. Huge flocks that sort of move around very quickly and they never seem to crash into each other. But the shape changes. And she said, I want to encourage you, don't be surprised if the shape of the church changes, but go with the flow. Now, as a leadership team, we're praying into that and saying, okay, Lord, what exactly are you saying? What are you wanting to reveal? What journey do you want us to take with that? And there's other things as well that we're considering. And I was sharing this a week as yesterday, with some of the ground level guys. Some of us, myself and Pete and Hugh, were down in Sleaford. And one of them said, they were praying for us, and they said, you look at those birds, those murmurations, and they go up to the heights, but yet they come down to roost. And it's like, when we sing those great songs, we go from glory to glory, we're forever changed, forever changed. Not right key, probably. And that's great. But then you've got to land it. You've got to come down and land it in everyday life, what we're about, who we are. Because if it's just a Sunday morning shindig, well, that's great. But actually, God's got far much more that he wants to do and reveal to this world through you and me. We're for the display of his splendor. That's what Isaiah says. So it's trying to link all that together, some of what Richard was talking about. Because how many of you really know, I mean really know, that when you were saved, you were called? Oh, some of you are thinking about that now. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us. Everybody say, I'm saved and I'm called. To a holy life. Oh. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Wow. That's how long God's had you on his mind. Since before the beginning of time. Blows my mind. So it's a holy calling. It's dependent on God's grace. And before the beginning of time. Paul says in Romans 8, 29, 30, he said, God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to be like his son. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. What a privilege. We've been celebrating that this morning as we've been sharing communion together. Paul says it to the Ephesian church. He said, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God speaks to Jeremiah, doesn't he? In Jeremiah 1, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. And in Jeremiah's case, it was to be a prophet to the nations. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to me when he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you because I set you apart for? That's for every single one of us in this room. And, yeah, thank you, Richard, for that whole thing. And I want to just sort of do something this morning that hopefully will help us in that whole process of getting to grips, understanding how it all fits together for me, how it all fits together for you. Finding my place in the body of Christ, finding your place in the body of Christ. And if you've got your Bibles, and I'm going to keep referring back to this chapter, Romans 12, we're going to read the first 8 verses. And verse 1 starts with the word therefore. As the old preacher once said, if you read the word therefore, ask what it's there for. So look at the last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 11. And it says this, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's all about him. Therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not you think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Look at the person next to you. They belong to you, and you belong to them. Whether you like it or not. We have different gifts, verse 6. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to give generously, if it's giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So some thoughts this morning around those 8 verses of helping us to find our place in the body of Christ. Number 1, verse 1. present your body as a living sacrifice. Surrender to God. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Is that what you're about? Is that your heart? To honour him like that. As one preacher famously said, the only problem with living sacrifices is they do tend to keep getting up off the altar. But if we're going to find that sense of fulfillment in our service for him, then we've got to be willing to accept whatever calling he's put on our lives. We've got to understand that every area of service is equally important. This is a biggie, I think, because we look at certain roles and certain responsibilities and say, oh yeah, well, they're really important. But actually, I only do this. It's not that important. God doesn't work that way. He really doesn't. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Well, I'll go for it now. Because I think, you know, this whole comparative thing is so destructive in our lives, isn't it? When we compare ourselves with other people. I'm reminded of, you know, the race. If you think of the Olympics, the 100 metres, for example. I used to like 100 metres when I was at school because you got it over with quick. I didn't like long distance running because it took too long. But, you know, I could probably do 100 metres in, well, definitely less than 20 seconds. In fact, I think I was third fastest at school, at junior school. Yeah. Once I got to senior school, there was a few more to go against. That was okay. But one of the things they used to tell us was, you know, don't worry about the person in the lane to the left and the right. Keep your eyes on the lane you're on, what you're called to, what you're aiming at, that end line. And we used to have tapes in those days. You used to have to run through the tape. Anybody remember running through the tape? Oh, yeah, some of you as old as me. Paul, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. You know, he says, just keep away from that. So, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be humble, number two, and realistic about yourself. Verse 3 said in that chapter we read, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I've told this story before, definitely. When I left industry in 1989 and started working full-time for the church, I remember the guy who was the senior leader said, we're going to have to give you a title. I said, you don't have to. He said, no, it would be really helpful for everybody in the church if we give you a title. So I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I think we'll call you the administrator. Well, after 3 months, he realised that wasn't a good call. So then he decided, well, I don't think administrator's quite it, is it? I said, I don't think it quite is, no. He said, I think we'll call you the evangelist. I said, I don't think you really should. Because Matt Richard was saying last week, I'm called to be a witness, but I'm not sure I'm actually called to be an evangelist in that gifting sense of the word. No, we'll call you. So he announces this to the church. Well, that was a bit of a disaster. Anybody had a few disasters in your walk with God? We don't need a title. You know, titles might emerge over time, and that's fine. But let's not strive over titles. Let's be who we're called to be. Let's just be. I love what Dwayne says, Dwayne White. He says, you know, first of all, we're called to be human beings, not human doings. And it's getting an understanding of who we are in God first. And then as that right understanding comes, things begin to open, doors open to us, possibilities and opportunities. But I think in that period of just being, I think there's a heart as well that I would love to see. And that heart of being fully engaged with the body of Christ. My third point. Not disconnected. The imagery of a body is all about interconnectedness. Yeah? And interdependence. You know, My arm is no good unless it's connected to the rest of me. But it has some good function. It does wave around a lot when I talk, I know. When it's connected, fully connected, I think we're really only going to find our sense of that God-given place for us when we are committed to the body of Christ. And I think that manifests itself really well in the local church setting. So I want to encourage you, if you're looking, say, Lord, help me to journey into all that you've got for me. Be fully committed into the body of Christ, that connectedness. Number four, and I found this to be true in my life and in our life as a family. Be prepared just to serve. Be prepared just to serve. And do anything that's needed. Well, you might think, oh, I'm not sure about that. Well, I think if we have a willing heart just to serve and to honour God with our time and energy, then God will begin to crystallise things over time. And you'll suddenly feel actually more of a leading to certain things. And I think this is important. I heard somebody say this a number of years ago, and I think it's absolutely true. I can't remember who said it. They made this statement. They said, if you can't serve, just serve somebody else's vision, don't expect people to serve yours. And that really struck me, and I thought it was really powerful. And, you know, for myself and for the family and as a church, we serve the vision of Ground Level. We've just been hearing about the one event that's been running for 30-some-odd years. I forget now, I've lost count. It used to be Grapevine, but one event in more recent years. And, you know, when I first started getting involved with one event, I started serving in the shop, the Ground Level sales area. I did that for a number of years. And then I got asked, would I take on looking after all the seminars? And did that for 12 years. And then handed that on. And then 2 years ago, we got asked, would we, myself and Anne-Marie, be what they call event pastors, which basically look after the team leaders of all the teams across the event. And, you know, so it's just been a willingness to serve others and be there. I remember as a family, 10 years ago, Easter 2007, myself and Anne-Marie, Pete and his brother and sister, we all went to Denton in Texas. And why did we go? Well, we went to serve a start of a brand new church. It was called the Bridge Church in Denton in Texas, and it was being founded by Dwayne and his wife, Chris White. And we just went to serve, but we just got involved with the events of the weekend to launch this brand new church. Great privilege for myself and Anne-Marie in 4 weeks' time. We're going for the 10th anniversary celebrations. And we're going to serve. Just going to serve. Not going to speak, you know, at the front or anything like that, but just get involved and serve. And Steph, our daughter, and Tim's son-in-law are going to be with us. See, it's all about just being available. You know, it's not necessarily anything to do with a particular gift that God may have given you, but it's just going to serve. And I think there's times, wherever we are on our journey, whether we've been at this a short time or a long time, it's just saying, I'm just here to serve. What can I do? I think it's all about belonging to one another, helping one another, ministering to one another in the body of Christ. And there are those opportunities, aren't there, where Peter addresses this, where he says, each of you should use whatever gifts you receive to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's 1 Peter 4:10. You know, and I look across the congregation here, I'm blown away by the service and the people who are involved. But I just want to take a moment to honour you today. So we've got, across this room, people who look after our small groups in the week, call them connect groups. If you're a connect group leader, why don't you just stand to your feet? I'm sure there's more than one here. Maggie, Eric's about over here. I'll some out with the kids. Yeah, there's a few out serving, multitasking. They also serve on kids' team. Okay, stay standing. Now, if you're what I call a specialist group leader, i.e. if you lead amigos or kids and carers, involved in that sort of thing, why don't you stand to your feet? Yeah, epic. Directors and leadership team, if you're on that, why don't you stand? If you're on the welcoming team, why don't you stand? If you're involved in the welcoming team, yeah. If you serve tea and coffee to us on a Sunday morning, why don't you stand? Yeah, come on, don't be hesitant, just go for it. If you are serve on the PA team or you're on the computer at the back, why don't you stand? If you serve in transport and setting up, why don't you stand? If you're involved in operations, stewarding, security, offering counters, communion service, why don't you stand? If you're involved in the prayer before or the prayer teams, why don't you stand? If you're involved in kids' church, most or quite a few of them will be out there, why don't you stand? If you're in the office and serve on the office staff, why don't you stand? If you're on the Alpha team, why don't you stand? If you're involved in communications, whether it's the printed stuff that we give out, on-screen stuff or on the web, why don't you stand? If you represent us and serve us in different spheres at the One event, at Immingham, at Street Angels, Hope for Justice or CARE, why don't you stand? If you're involved in SOS, why don't you stand? If you're involved in CAP, why don't you stand? If you're involved in international mission that goes out from here, why don't you stand? Worship team. I've not done worship team. Worship team, why don't you stand? Hey, anybody else I've missed? Because I am fallible. Hey, look. These are the people who serve City Church and beyond. I think they need honouring. Go on, honour one another. Thank you, guys. Great. Sit down. Thank you for being willing to serve. And some of you just do it. And if you're prepared to just serve, then you'll start to recognize, I think, sometimes a God-given measure of faith to do things at another level, perhaps. Verse 3 of Romans 12, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. How many of you know you've been given a measure of faith? Hebrews says in verse 1 of chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things and the evidence of things not seen. And you begin to have faith for a particular thing and a sense of, yeah, I think God is opening a door here. Excuse me. A sense that God is nudging you in a particular direction. People often ask me about that and I say, well, it doesn't sound very spiritual, this. When people are asking, you know, I'm not sure about this. I said, well, what gives you a buzz? What gives you a buzz? What gives you up in the morning? What gives you a bit of excitement when you think about possibilities and opportunities? What gives you a buzz? You think, well, that's not very scriptural, David. Well, the word buzz, I don't think, is in many translations. But listen to what Paul says to the Philippian church. In Philippians 2:13, and I'll read from the New Living Translation, he says, God is working in you, right? God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I tell you what, if God's doing something in you, he'll begin to give you a buzz for something. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. As we allow God and by his Spirit to come and to work in it, he will begin to shape your thinking. How many of you know that if you've been on this Christian journey a while, you don't think the same way as you did at the first step? It's like my mind and my thinking has been transformed. There's been a renewing of my mind, the way I think. Have you noticed, and this happens in the natural, doesn't it, that sometimes the more you spend with certain people, the more you begin to be like them? Poor old Pete. You know, we often respond to things with exactly the same phrase. So something will happen and we'll both say the same thing or be thinking the same thing. And we just look at each other and smile now. We've sort of got used to it. And blessing my son-in-law, Tim, he did confess recently that he's starting to go that way as well. What a responsibility. But as we spend time with God, I think he puts those desires, those dreams in us, and they will evolve over time. You know, it might not all come on day one of your Christian walk. But the more we get to know him, the more we allow him to speak into our lives, it shapes the things that we then begin to sense, actually, this is what I'm called for. This is what I should be about. That sense of understanding. And I think there's wisdom in listening to others, the right people. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation fails. But victory is won through many advisors. You know, take time to talk with someone. You can see the evidence of God at work in their life. That guidance has been something that's been very key for them. Might be one of the church leaders, a group leader, a Christian friend who's a little bit further along the journey, maybe. I think another thing is, recognize fulfillment and joy. You know, there are just times in my life where I've just sensed, actually, wow, this is doing what I'm doing with the people I'm doing it at the time that I'm doing. I'm right. I just sense the right place. I felt it in industry when I was working in industry. And I feel it in my life going forward. And what a wonderful thing to just sense and know that great privilege of, actually, I feel like a square peg in a square hole. Not like that last one on that little image. That square peg trying to get in a round hole. It's just, you know that it fits. How many of us know that, you know, you look at, we've got some great cathedrals in our nation. And they took years, decades, some of them more than decades, to build these things. And to build these huge cathedrals, it took stonemasons. And each stone had to be shaped to fit a particular place. That took time to shape each of those stones. It's taking time for God to shape my life. And it's probably taking God to shape your life to fully fit in the place that God has called us to. 1 Peter 2 says, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And it may take a bit of time to shape us. It took a bit of time with David when Samuel anointed him as king, didn't he? And nobody else recognized it, only Samuel and God. And for many years, he carried this anointing, young David. But yet, it seemed like, how is this ever going to happen? And there may be people here today feeling, well, I think I've sent something of an anointing on my life for something, and I'm not sure how that's ever going to happen, how the doors of opportunity are ever going to open. But maybe in David's life, when you think about that anointing, when God anointed him, he then began to face some of the biggest trials of his life. Threats on his life. Maybe God was preparing him, shaping him in that process for what he had prepared for him. And you can't see it at the time. You can only see it in retrospect. You look back on your life and you say, now I see something of why that happened or why that circumstance was so difficult. We sang a song this morning, didn't we? About the second song in. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. One of the lines of that song says, all the time you are good. I tell you what, if we can sing that, if we can declare that all the time, whatever's kicking off around us, it may be one of those difficult seasons where, in retrospect, we will look back and say, actually, God was shaping us. But all the time, God is good. I wonder if the musicians would come back. Hebrews 12 encourages to let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That thought of that running track again. Each one of us has a universal destiny in terms of the race we run. become more and more like Jesus. But then there are personal things that God has called us to, a unique destiny. There's a unique destiny over your life and my life to be unlike anyone God has ever created before. Yeah, unlike anyone God has ever created before. Can I encourage you with these few thoughts off the back of all we heard last week? To present your body as a living sacrifice. Be humble and realistic about yourself. Be fully engaged with the body of Christ. Be prepared just to serve. To recognize your God-given measure of faith. To listen to others. To recognize fulfillment and joy. I'm going to pray. And then Pete and Alex are going to pray some prayers to conclude this morning. And we'll sing a final song. But I wonder if we could stand. Because right at the very beginning of the year, we were thinking about 2017 is a year of breakthrough. Remember that? Just a couple of months ago. And I just sensed as I was thinking about this morning that just pray. If there are people here today who feel a bit like Cain in the Old Testament, who was known as a bit of a wanderer at a period, for a time, and I just pray, want to pray for some people that this year, 2017, you'll stop being a wanderer. Just wandering and wandering around. But actually, that this year, 2017, there'll be a greater sense of fulfillment in God and purpose on your life. That sense of well-being will be your experience. And if that's you, I'm not going to call you out, but why don't you just put your hands in front of you, and I want to pray across this room for every single person here. Just have the wonderful knowledge, A, that they're son or daughter of the living God and they're walking in his purposes, and that sense of being connected in the body of Christ, that's that sense of actually what I'm about, what I'm doing is what I'm shaped for and what I'm called for. So, Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you that you are faithful. That as we sang in that song, your mercy does endure forever. Whatever the season, whatever the time, we just want to honor you and declare you as Lord of our lives. And across this room, I pray for any who are going through challenging seasons right now with uncertainty of the future, with question marks. Lord, I pray that they will open their hearts to you today, and that you will flood them with a sense of your peace, that even in the mist and even in the fog of life, Lord, there'll be a sense of security because you are there. But I pray also, Lord, that this year, 2017, will be an ongoing year of revelation to them, of doors of possibility and opportunity that are right in the center of your will, that they would begin to open. And Lord, that boldness would come upon your people to step into everything and anything that you have on your agenda for us. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the journey so far. We thank you for this life walk with you. And we praise you that you are the only one who brings true fulfillment in life. Lord, and we want to declare again that this is all about you. And all about your kingdom. And your kingdom being known in our world. And we say, here we are, Lord. Wholly available. As for us, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Guys, do you want to come
A lot of this really resonates with me. Can we just put those points back up, Joe, that David just had? I've been thinking about this a lot this week, actually. Some good friends of mine that I made in South Africa, they felt for a long time that God was calling them to Tokyo in Japan. And they felt it for a while. They've thought about what they could do, and they just humbled themselves before God. And they've gone recently, and they've just experienced. They were messaging me this week saying, you know, the unmerited favor of God has fallen on them, and they needed working visas to stay there, and they've just been provided in record time. And I was just thinking about them, you know, and this just applies to all of us, no matter where we're meant to be, whether we're meant to be in England, in Grimsby, or wherever we're meant to be around the globe, I just think if we present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice and say, here I am, ready to serve, and be humble and be realistic about what you can do. They were realistic. They said, okay, we could teach English. They started to prepare themselves for what they could do when they stepped out into the mission. And they were just ready to serve. I think their long-term goal is to plant a church, but they've gone and served in another church, and they've just turned up and said, you know, what can we do for now? How can we bless you? Where are there areas where there's not many servants? And they've got straight stuck in, and they've stood out as a really good example to me as how we can live our lives. They listened to others before they went, and they're really just, you know, they're posting pictures on Facebook, and I can see the joy because the timing was right and they followed the call. And, you know, they're called to be there. There's people that are called to be in all different continents of the world. And I feel really called to be here in Grimsby. And I just want to follow these steps and find my place so that we can grow the kingdom of God here. And if you're with me on that, no matter where you feel God's telling you to go in the future, will you just pray with me now that we can humble ourselves before you, God, like David's encouraged us this morning. Would we just give ourselves to you, God, and say, would your will be done? There may be people in this room with specific nations on their hearts, specific ministries on their hearts, God. Would they come before you in the days to come, God, and just say, well, how will this look? How could this happen? Would they present themselves before you, God? And we pray that you start to do the rest, Lord. Yeah, we pray you give us an openness just to serve and get stuck in until perhaps deeper and further plans that each of our lives are revealed. Give us that humility, God, to serve where service is needed. And we know that that is how we can build your kingdom here and in the now, God. So bless us this week, we pray, Lord Jesus. And would this preach really sit in our hearts, and would we act on it and act on these 7 points? Amen.
Yeah, really quickly, before we just sing again, I really felt that as we've been hearing this morning, you know, there's a whole load of people, me included in that, you know, and you've been serving for a long time, and maybe serving different areas, maybe serving areas that we didn't mention this morning, not necessarily just within City Church. And we talked about, you know, we fix our eyes on the race and we race towards the prize. And often that race isn't a 100-meter sprint. It's an endurance. It's like doing cross-country, where I am told, because I never did cross-country, you know, you have ups and downs. You have challenging segments. It's not always easy. And I just want to pray for anybody this morning who is feeling like they're in that moment and they're going through a struggle and they're going through and having to push and they're having to dig deep. And just pray for God's endurance, just to carry on, to keep serving faithfully. So if that's you, why don't you just put your hands out, just receive from God this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that what you've called us to do, you will give us the energy for, you will give us the resource for. God, and you will give us that fulfillment and joy knowing that what we're doing is exactly what we need to do in the time we need to do it, where we need to do it, and how we need to do it. Your word says your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So, Father, we put every burden that we have on you, Lord, when you took them on the cross. Lord, and I pray this morning that for anybody who feels like that, who feels like they're in a tough season of serving, God, that you would give them a freedom, and a sense of this lightness that comes from taking the weight off. Lord, that it becomes a joy again to serve. Because serving you is a joy. It's a pleasure. It's something that we long to do, that we want to do, because we honor you and we stand in awe of you. So, Father, would you this morning, just as we begin to sing, just pour out your Holy Spirit again on people. Fill up them and enable them to carry on doing what you've called them to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So just continue to receive as the guys sing over you.